I have decided to make a bonus episode. I have decided to make a bonus episode. I have decided to make a bonus episode. Here it goes. Here it goes. Let's talk about an indie movie on Indie Movie Corner. Indie Movie Corner. Ingrid Goes West. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Indie Movie Corner. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Friday, September 1st, 2017. This is a special bonus edition, Patreon edition, that's normally, it's normally behind the paywall on Patreon. But I decided, you know, I was like, let me give y'all a little taste of what it is that I do behind the Patreon wall. I have a podcast called Indie Movie Corner. It's where I nerd out about independent films and other things. This is just the beginning. This is the fourth episode. I have episodes of, first episode was about one of my favorite movies of the year, possibly my favorite movie of the year, Columbus, starring John Cho and Haley Lou Richardson, directed by Koganada. I nerded out for about an hour and change on that. The second movie, Brigsby Bear, I did with Jeff Cerulli. Third episode, Wind River, with J.L. Covan, did that with him. And I have, and Jeff Cerulli's returning to talk to me, with me, about Ingrid Goes West, which is a movie starring Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen. Elizabeth Olsen, as most of you who listen to the podcast know, is one of my favorite white starlets of all time. And this is kind of what I do. And the show is starting to grow. I sense an evolution with the show where it's starting to find its footing in this fourth episode, which you'll hear. It's, you know, we talk about the movie, and just talking about the movie, especially with this one, just was evocative of so many different things. Where we're talking about my life as it relates to social media, Jeff's life, we share a couple stories, and then towards the end, we start it. I don't want to say it gets serious, but it's, we just talk. It made me think about, the more that we were discussing this, and I think this is the fun in podcasting, at least the fun for me, the gems that I get out of doing it, is just is making connections to things that are happening currently in real life, things that are touching, things that are. It made me think about this young woman, Maddie Holleran, who I found out about on ESPN. You know how I always talk about ESPN on Sundays, how they used to, they don't do out, I don't think they do Outside the Lines anymore. I'm not 100% sure if that's true, but usually on Sundays, Outside the Lines would have these touching stories that kind of catch you off guard, and you get emotional while you're eating brunch or breakfast, or while you're just, I don't know, recovering from the night, from your Saturday night. There was a story about this young woman named Maddie Holleran, who was a up and coming track star, and she was in high school. She was a track star and soccer player, and she ended up committing suicide during her freshman year in college. And Kate Fagan, who was a reporter on ESPN, wrote this book about her called "What Made Maddie Run: The Secret Struggles and Tragic Death of an All-American." So It's I want to read it, I want to read this book, and it's just this movie, like, that you would think on the surface, like, oh, it's just about this girl, like single white female type movie, crazy chick is obsessed with another chick, or on some Talented Mr. Ripley type shit that's about obsession and making comments about social media. And so Jeff and I talked about this movie, and yeah, we had a good time. So this is evidence of it. Me and Jeff Cerulli talking about Ingrid Goes West. All right. Following the death of her mother and a series of inflicted setbacks, young Ingrid Thorburn escapes a humdrum existence by moving out west to befriend, Jesus, to befriend her Instagram obsession, a Los Angeles socialite named Taylor Sloan. After a quick bond is forged between these unlikeliest of buddies, the facade begins to crack in both women's lives with comically malicious results. This movie is directed by Matt Spicer, and he wrote it as well. And Jeff, your initial thoughts. What did you like about this movie?
Well, I want to say first off, what got me interested was the trailer, the first trailer. Okay. Great trailer with the beat and her going in and macing the bride at the wedding. Just fantastic trailer. Kind of reminded me a little of Spring Breakers, like this kind of like neon kind of fast trailer. So I was in right away when I saw that, and I like kind of everyone in it. So I was down, and I did like it. Are you asking me an impression of the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I did like it. I did like it overall, and I saw it before you, and I remember we were texting, and I said, I can't say it's better than the first episode. Have you seen any Black Mirrors?
Yes, the pig episode, the one where the guy from Get Out, that one, I saw that.
Oh, yeah, that was an interesting one. That was very divisive. I feel like some people love that, some people hated that. But the first episode of the new batch that Netflix released was Bryce Dallas Howard. Rashida Jones directed it, and Bryce Dallas Howard's in it. And it said maybe like in 5 years from now, where it's like everything, like it's basically your currency. Like, you can't get invited to things unless you have like a high social media ranking.
Okay.
You know, kind of like basically what they're kind of taking like Yelp reviews or Uber reviews. And like she couldn't get invited to this party unless she was like, they didn't want her there unless she was like a 3.5 out of 4. So that's kind of more set in like a futuristic, but involved a wedding. So I would have said, you know, it's like, I can't say this movie is definitively better than that. They're kind of same idea, social media obsessed. But I enjoyed both, and I enjoyed this. I kind of saw where it was going, but I thought it made sense, and I liked it overall. I think it's worth seeing, and I thought it was just like it was well done, and everyone is pretty good in it. And you know, I thought about how do you start a movie like this, and they started how I thought they would. They started it with shots of social media, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
instead of like you know, with her and her mom's death. It was they started it with. You know, setting the tone with social media likes and how important it is. And Instagram mainly, I should say, it wasn't really anything besides Instagram, right? It was always revolving Instagram, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of become this monster. I've been on Instagram since maybe early 2014, and it's a fucking monster, man. Like you can get engrossed, and it's just this world where everybody's lives is curated to a T for the most part. Like it's just like, and it's just this whole nother world that if you're not, I mean, I would say the thing that I liked about this movie, you talked about the trailer drawing you in. I would say the trailer was terrific. I would say Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen drew me in. One, Aubrey Plaza's cute. She's attractive. And then I kind of give her like homegirl status because she's from Delaware and that's close to Maryland. So I give her that. But Elizabeth Olsen is like one of my top white starlets of all time. Like she is on the rise and she's, you know, I'm a big fan of that. So just those two women being involved in this project was something that really got me excited about this.
But, yeah, perfectly cast too.
Yeah.
Perfectly cast. She played the pretty, attractive Elizabeth Olsen, like unobtainable fake Instagram girl. And Aubrey Plaza is very good at like, she's hot as shit, but it's like, she does it self-deprecating, you know?
Yeah.
Like in a way, I'm kind of watching them and like, come on, you're so pretty. You could just go do your own shit. It's kind of like that old Jim Gaffigan joke about Holly Berry and Monsters Ball, where it's like, why don't you just become a model? It's like you're watching and you're like, really? You're that? I mean, you know, pretty doesn't account for if you're fucked up and you go through things in your life. But it's like, really? This girl wouldn't be popular? And like she's quirky. Like, guys are going to be like, oh, she's too quirky for me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Oh, of course. Of course. Like, Aubrey Plaza, she really did. She did a great job in this movie because she was just. I don't know that I've ever really. She's got a knack for playing people that are socially awkward, that have like this this like a weirdness to her, but then there's also a heart, and I felt like I saw most of that heart than I've ever seen before in this movie. And I could definitely, I felt like I cared a lot about her too. Obviously she ends up doing a lot of fucked up shit, but at the core, like at the base, like with building this character, I really cared about her. And I was invested in her, and I didn't want her to get involved in this shit when she becomes unhinged. And I thought they really set that up really well.
The mother's death. I mean, ultimately, you're going to feel sympathetic for her because that's the event in the beginning where it's like the cause of everything. Dad's not around. Yeah. I forget. I saw it a few weeks ago. Where's the dad? He's just not around. He died too.
I don't think they mention her at all. But that moment when she and Dan Pinto are out on a date, she mentions the fact that my mother was kind of my best friend. And
yeah.
Her eyes get, you know, she starts to cry, and it's just like, fuck, you know. But I guess
that was probably the best scene in the movie, because you have someone, the Dan Pinto, played by O'Shea Jackson Jr. Yeah. She has a real connection there. Mm-hmm. They've both lost their parents. That's something real, something tangible they can both relate to. And she doesn't give a shit because it's not an Instagram status thing.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't ultimately care. She can't see it. It's like she's too busy looking down on him about Batman, when it's like, you know, obviously she's into her own dumb shit. You know, whatever you think of Batman or whatever, it's interchangeable. Kind of like what we talked about, Brigsby Bear. It's interchangeable. Whatever you're really into that you're technically supposed to be, quote unquote, an adult about, and why are you still into this? It's like everybody has that. So,
of course.
But she doesn't see it. She doesn't care. She's too into status.
Yeah. And I think, like, once she go, it's really shit. It's really a love story when you look at an obsessive, you know, people. I've seen and read the comparisons to Single White Female.
Like a
Fatal Attraction type thing. But she's definitely missing something. And just the setup of the film, where it was just like the hospital bed, like that was just like, oh my God. Like, to me, that was just like kind of an ominous presence that they didn't even say anything about. I think that's just part of the script. That's just the direction and whatnot. But like, they said a lot without saying anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was something that was really powerful for a movie that you think is just going to be this girl's fucking crazy and she stalks this girl, you know, this Instagram star.
Yeah, no, I thought it was well done. It had a lot to it, and it's more than that, but it's nothing that, you know, hasn't already been done. Doesn't mean you can't do it. It doesn't mean it's not interesting. And I did think it was both of those things. But that's why I've kind of seen this before, but I still thought it was well done and I still enjoyed it. But yeah, it was more than just kind of like a Fatal Attraction movie.
Because when you texted me that, I was like, oh, maybe he didn't like it.
No, I did. And I was like, it's well done. It's good. Yeah. Everyone's good in it.
Yeah. I was apprehensive when we were in that, during that exchange, like, oh man, but you're like, you know, it's not like, you know, it's good, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Overall, I liked it and I think it is worth seeing, but yeah, I'm curious, once you see the Black Mirror episode, which is set a little in the future, and it's, yeah, you'll see the parallels, cause they're very similar.
How do you feel about Instagram and social media? Do you ever feel like you're getting caught up in
this? Yeah, of course. I mean, like, I personally don't care about Instagram. I was on it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm still on it, but I just kind of lurk.
Yeah.
I don't like that it says if I watch someone's video that they know. I just want to lurk. I don't like, I don't comment. I don't like that it reports that this person watched your video. I think that's kind of a miss. I don't mind putting the number.
Yeah.
You could say like two, it's like YouTube, 2,000 people watch this video, but to specifically say who, I don't know. Cause I just like to go on. I lurk. I'll watch some stories, but I don't ever feel compelled anymore. I think the last photo I took was 2014 to post a photo.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I don't know. I just don't. I was late on it. And then I just felt like it was another thing that I'm like, oh, great, now I got to be competitive with my photos here, and it's like I got to worry about followers. Yeah. So I don't care about Instagram. Facebook, you know, I have the web series that I talked about last time is about. It's kind of making fun of online journalism, and that interests me, the way that journalism has gone. But I've been guilty of Twitter about being like, I need more followers, I need this. And then you kind of step back and you're like, does it fucking matter? Like, I know people get book deals and they can get stuff off Twitter, but it's like, it's kind of rare. And it's essentially like, you put out, like, we're both comics. We work on jokes.
Yeah.
You're working on it, working on it. It's something that can last. You hope to do it on TV. You put a joke out there on Twitter and it's just gone. It's just like, either no one gives a shit, or even if it does well, it does the rounds and then that's it. It's kind of like, it's just kind of this fleeting thing that it's like, it's kind of tough to really, if you think about, really care about, to like, you can't hold on to it. It's not worth anything in a way.
Yeah. But and then there's sometimes people talk about the, like the endorphins, the rush you get when you get like people liking stuff. I had a tweet that went viral about maybe a month or two ago about Black Panther. Like I said something like, I took two pictures of church fans, you know, so like people were get like black people getting excited about Black Panther, like, oh my God, it's gonna be this, it's gonna be that. And I said, if you see it in IMAX, you get like these church fans, like as like a black church, like it's like a black church. You'd have to see it. But it did some numbers, and a lot of famous people retweeted it and made it into somebody's fake news.
Best tweets. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. These tweets happen. A lot of people are, Black Twitter's excited about Black Panther. And then they, you know, but, and it felt pretty cool. Like it did feel good, but there was no currency. But at the same time, like as far as like Instagram is concerned.
But that's what I mean. It's like you had the week, it feels good, but then it's gone. It's not something you can really take. But yeah, it's, I don't know. Okay, let's keep going.
It's like this ethereal thing, like it's gone. It's just out there in the ether. But with Instagram, I'm kind of a lurker too, for the most part. I'll post about stuff on my podcast. If I talk to somebody, I'll snap a picture of them. Hey, check out this podcast. You know, this is what I'm doing. Or if I'm at a game. Like I was at the Giants-Jets game, and I just learned how to do the Instagram stories. So yes. I was just like trying to do it, and I said, I feel like a dad that's trying to use this shit. But there, when you do get likes on your thing, like it's pretty neat. There was this here's a thing, because it made me think about how I feel. It's like that whole FOMO thing, the thing about, like, you know, the fear of missing out. Like you're not like the Mayweather McGregor fight that was last night. Everybody's like, oh my God, I'm gonna watch the fight. And then I saw people go, I don't care about the fight. Anybody have a link? Does anybody, you know, everybody trying to, you know, be involved in this cultural event. But then sometimes if you're bored and you're not feeling good, or just something's going on, and you see everybody's at an event and you see them post about it on Instagram, it does make you feel like shit in a way. Like, to me, sometimes we can be above it all. But that movie, the movie really made me feel like, I kind of know where she's coming from. Now, I'm not going to act to that extreme, but I was just kind of like, for instance, so I did, I'm on Instagram. I took this picture of me being at this concert like in like April or something. And it was a really good picture. It got a few likes, maybe 30 or 40 likes, whatever. And this one model, this like Instagram, she's like a, you know, one of those women that are like these, like, they're workout models. Like, it's like they're trying to motivate you, but really they're just like, look how hot I am.
Yes. Yeah.
So this girl's like really beautiful woman, like starts liking my pics. So I was like, oh, she's cute, I'll follow her. But she never followed me back.
Yeah.
But she still kept continuing to like my pictures and make little smiley faces on some of them, or like the thumbs up on some of these pics. And I'm like, why is she doing this? And I was talking to one of my friends who's a little more set. Shout out to Jared Freed. I'll put him out there. He was a friend, okay. friend of the show. He's really into this, like the dating and this Tinder and all. If you ever follow him on, you follow him on social media, he's really good. I was like, what does this mean? And we're talking about it. And he's like, you need to just message her and see what's up. And I just, and I messaged her. I was like, hey, you know, we're kind of liking each other's pictures a lot. Just, you know, saying hey or something like that. And she never wrote back. And I,
okay.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this doesn't mean shit. And so I just deleted her. I just unfollowed her. And,
yeah.
And I just follow hot women, sneaker accounts, and like Star Wars action figure accounts. and my friends, you know, like, but other than that, like, it's just like, all right. Cause it's like, and then I saw, and I did see on her, like before I unfollowed her, she had this, so she's had to be like 30 years old. And I saw her boyfriend looked like this, the most interesting man in the world. He's like probably 20 years older than her. And I was like, oh, she's got a sugar daddy. She doesn't need me. You know,
it's so interesting. And that's what the movie touches on, why it's interesting and why I think it, you know, it is something worth seeing. It's like the need to, if you go to an event or somewhere, you have to take a photo or do a tweet or do something that you're there. It's kind of the point. It doesn't feel like it's happening unless you do that.
Oh, very, you know, true. Yes.
That
yes.
It's like, it like cements, you being there, yeah. which is crazy. And it shouldn't be that way, but it's like a thing that you have to do. Mm-hmm. It's like, here I am, I'm at this thing. And it's like, are you doing it so much? Well, some people are for likes or just to your stamp that to make it kind of official that you're there. Or even like the fight. It's like everyone has to tweet about the fight, but then you also have people who are like, I don't care about the fight. Like, but you're still talking about it. They still have to say, like, yeah. Well, it's boxing. Who cares? It's like they still have to put their, you know, 2 cents in for, yeah. You know, that. But it's like you're still, or with the Super Bowl, of course. Everyone tweets about the Super Bowl. And then there's people that are like, well, this doesn't matter. It's stupid. And then they have to show everyone how good they are that they're not. You know, that they don't care about it. They don't care about sports. It's kind of all the same at that point. You're still talking about it.
Yeah. Everybody, we have this self-important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, I fall into that shit. Like cause it's like, yes, this movie takes it to an extreme, but it's like, I'm a lemming just like everybody else. Like it kind of, cause you know, I think sometimes when a piece of art tries to comment on something, now it's saying like, oh, this is a failed attempt at trying to, you know, like trying to like call people out. But it's like, no, this movie saying something, like I could see myself in Ingrid. I can see, yeah, like,
me too, of course.
I can see myself like being like, God, this person's really cool. Like, wow, what could I want to be that. Like, I've looked at people, say, man, I want to be that person's friend. Or like, I want to fuck that girl.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, so, and it's even just a friendship thing for, like, it's like, wow, that person's really fucking cool. But I'm not as cool as that person. I think that's just like that human insecurity thing. Yeah, I thought it rang a little truer and louder than the critics let on. You know, I mean, it's 89. It's 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
High, yeah, very
it's,
high.
It's pretty high. But I'm just like looking at some of these people, like saying, you know, they didn't really. I guess maybe they didn't really stick the landing. That's what they said. But I think it's there's more than meets the eye to it, to the movie, and it because it just made me think about a lot of those instances on social media where I felt like, oh my God, this is really like, oh, I could see myself kind of being like that person.
Look at the president. Yeah. He makes social media a serious thing.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I like about Twitter is I follow journalists I like, and I can get information as opposed to Facebook. It's just friends and comments promoting shows or whatever, or my baby was sad today. But Twitter, you know, you follow who you want, and it can be, I guess, harmful in a way if you just follow, you know, the voices you like. You don't hear other stuff. You know, that's something to talk about. But the president validates Twitter because he's always tweeting, and the news is Trump tweeted this, Trump tweeted that. So it's not just this frivolous thing in a way, because you can get news from it. But I also wanted to touch on about critics per se.
Yeah.
Because there should be critics, and Rotten Tomatoes is a real thing, and there's been different talked about why it's good or bad, but they should exist. You should have to make a movie to, you know, review movies. You know, you can still be knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. But with that said, the people on like YouTube who make shitty comments, who shit on something, like let's say you put this clip on and then someone's like, it's stupid, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, what are you doing? It's a lot of that on social media. It's a lot of trolls who don't do anything themselves. They're not creative. And then that becomes their thing where it's like they just like to shit, and it's a lot of jealousy, and it's a lot of hate on just what other people are trying to do. You know, like I put, let me tell you, I did a, remember the dog video of the dog dressed as, the dog owner dressed as Gumby?
Yes. Yeah.
Went viral. It was huge. John Oliver covered it. It was like 15 million hits. Ellen covered it. So I did a parody of that with my cat. Whereas like, obviously if you do it with a cat, it won't give a shit.
Right.
So I filmed it. Cat didn't care. And I was like, it's okay. This isn't strong enough. So what I had, my girlfriend was filming it. I had her to put a vacuum, and then the cat got scared of the vacuum, so I put it online. It was a parody of the video. It went viral. It was pretty funny. It was on the cover of the Huffington Post, the front page. It was like right before the election's happening. It was like Trump, man dresses as cat's favorite toy goes horrible. So it went viral, but then you would get these people who would be like, this is fucking stupid. This is plagiarism. This is fucking retarded. And it's like, yeah, it was literally a 30-second video, but I really got to see with that about how hateful people are and how silly, not that I don't see it, but with just something so innocuous of something, a parody, a fun little parody of a video. And it was like just the hate of people like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's like, Jesus Christ, it's a fucking stupid parody video. Like, it bothers you. One guy said he wants to find out where I live and dox me. That's how mad it made him.
Did you say Queens, bitch?
It's like, yeah, I shoot everything in my apartment, so you go figure it out.
Come find me, yeah.
But, it's just like, you know, so there's the push and pull there where, like, you shouldn't have to – like, it's kind of like sometimes athletes get like that. You ever see where they'll be like, yeah, you never played. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you shouldn't have to have played. But there is something, like – I guess it just depends. The medium is the message, where you're coming from, as always. Like, where are you coming from when you're doing this? Is it critical? Is it – or are you just being, like, just hating on it to hate on it, you know?
The old Marshall McLuhan. Yep.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, the medium's always the mess. It always is.
Yeah,
it's always true. They didn't have social media back then, but it's the same. It's the same thing. Do you ever get like this? Do you ever? This is an honest social media question. Do you ever feel like something you put up does all right, but then you see someone else put up kind of the same thing, and you're like, well, everybody loves this. Everybody loves because that's medium is the message, because it's coming from a different person.
Oh God, all the time, dude.
Yeah, and it's hard not to.
Yeah. Like, I'll say, like, I just remember when, maybe we talked about this before. Did we talk about Don't Think Twice the last time?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. We both liked it a lot.
Just like, or a movie or something that you see kind of before everybody, whether it's an album or something, you're like, wow, a movie or whatever. You're like, this is really good. Like, you tweet about it, you post about how good it is. And then people were like months down the line, like somebody more famous than you is like, this is good. And you're like, fuck you, man. Like, I said that, I said that shit, you know, years ago or whatever, or months ago. But yeah, of course, all the time. I think, definitely.
It shouldn't matter, but it does. I saw one recently where someone posted about, something. And I was like, man, no one gives a shit when I do this, but this is like, wow, we got to fucking throw a party, and they're throwing a parade down Broadway. And it's like, but it shouldn't. It's hard. It's like, that's the stuff that's so toxic about social media. That's the stuff that like can ruin you, that can make you bitter. And it's like, it just doesn't matter. They got more likes than you. So what?
Yeah, I'll give you one. Like when Jay-Z came out with 444,
put your album a few weeks before it didn't do as well.
Yeah. Well, it's the fact that, you know, it's a very good album. Like just aesthetically, sonically, it's very good. So like, and he worked with one producer for the entire album, and people are like, oh my God, can you believe that? You know, Jay-Z, he worked with one guy for the whole time, and then this is amazing. Nobody's ever done this. And there's been like literally like lesser known, less popular artists that have done the same thing and have talked about adult content, like as far as like grown man shit in the hip hop world, where like there's been guys that have done this like for years, but because Jay-Z does it, you know, everybody's like, oh, Jay, it's like this is the first time that someone's done this. So
yeah, it's the same idea. I mean, I do think you get a certain leeway if you're like that famous, like, because Jay-Z's put out a lot of albums, he gets a lot of respect from people.
Yeah,
so in a way it's cool, but yeah, it's the same shit. It's the same shit that it's just like, you know, again, medium is the message.
Yeah.
It's Jay-Z, not you know, whoever else, you know.
Yeah, random indie rapper that I like.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about the acting itself? We talked about Aubrey Plaza. Like, I felt like it just drew me in more than I expected and I was pleasantly surprised. And I told you before we started recording, I felt like I was like, oh God, I messed around and looked at the Wikipedia synopsis. But at the same time, coming into this movie and actually seeing it, I was just really surprised by her performance and I really enjoyed it. What did you think about the other characters? Like, maybe you could speak on Aubrey Plaza a little more, and then like what you think about Elizabeth Olsen.
Also, there was a guy from Elizabeth Olsen's boyfriend was in the Black Mirror episode.
Oh, he was?
That's kind of the only thing I know him from, the video game one from this season. I think it was the second episode.
Wyatt Russell.
Yeah, and he was a good character too, because this is the thought I had too. Okay, he was a good character because he was trying to be like this authentic guy, being like, I don't like to post on social media because it's like fake, but he's like kind of just as bad as everyone else.
Yeah.
And his art is shit. He's doing Fat Jew stuff where he's just taking other people's work and just like putting a word on it and it's his. So it's like, and then what was good. And then her brother called him out. Her brother was an awful character, but he was a smart guy. He called the bullshit out, where he was like, no, you would sell out too if someone bought your stuff or whatever. The specifics of the scene was, and I thought that was a good scene too, because it's like, yeah, he's just kind of as bad as everyone else in a way, and Elizabeth Olsen is too, because she's not as bad as Aubrey Plaza's character, where since she's like not, you know, she's not as self-destructive, but she's still phony. She's still putting books that she didn't read to look smart online that she read that really her husband liked.
Yeah.
And then she's jumping to the next person, of course, because they have more Instagram followers and it can do more for her. So, but Elizabeth Olsen played that perfectly, of the pretty, you know, like kind of like the fitness model that you were just talking about. Like, it's like not a real person, just kind of like there's nothing authentic to her.
Yeah.
So everybody was good. Everybody brought something to the table here. O'Shea Jackson was good. I thought he was too nice, but he played the role well.
I think
that's not on him. He did a good job.
Yeah, yeah. I think that kid's a star. Like he's
yeah.
I liked him in what's the fuck, NWA.
Everybody's good in NWA. Eazy-E was so good. I thought he was so much better than everyone else. Everybody was good. I thought Eazy-E was so good, and he should have got nominated. He did.
Sounds so old. I liked him in NWA. I liked him in Straight Outta Compton. I thought that movie was very good. I was just like, okay, this kid's playing his dad. But then, like, with this movie, like, there was nuance, and he just seemed like...
He's got charisma.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. He has charisma.
And
he's got charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sometimes bad at predicting stuff. Like, I remember I saw Guide to Recognizing Your Saints. You ever see that movie? It's from like 10 years ago.
I don't think I saw that.
So it's about this author who lived in Astoria. I saw it before I lived in Astoria. It takes place in Astoria, the Shining Story. It's Robert Downey Jr., Shia LaBeouf, and Channing Tatum was like kind of like the dumbass, kind of like tough friend.
Yeah.
And he was fine in it, but I never thought like, oh, this guy's going to be the guy. I didn't think he had enough charisma. And I still kind of think he's kind of a bag of rocks a little bit.
Well, some people get moved on and they, you know. They keep getting opportunity. He's fine. Like, I know.
I don't think he's that. I think he can be funny as, like, if you, like, well, you know, the first one was all right. What was it? 21 Jump Street.
Uh-huh.
If he's bouncing off Jonah Hill and playing more like the stupid, like, kind of funny guy, I think that works. And I'm sure, like other parts too, but I never thought he was, like, super charismatic that he's like, oh, this is. So I was surprised. I was like, that guy from the Saints movie? That guy's. That's who we're going with?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's hot, so.
Yeah, he's super hot.
Yeah, so that'll help too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I thought like there were different moments like where when she's having dinner with Taylor and Ezra, where it's like they're like getting more wine, and then Taylor covers her. Ezra's glass. I was like, oh shit, that was a nice moment. I was like, oh, this guy, maybe he's an alcoholic. And then they go back to it. It's just this a lot of nuance and character stuff. Like the thing that I like appreciated about this movie was the fact that, you know, you had things that were said, but really, what the fuck was that I said that sound pretty smart about 20 minutes ago? It's like it was they said it without saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
And and it made it I think this movie just had a lot of depth than I expected it to. And I like the fact that it took me by surprise in that way, cuz it could have easily just been so vapid and soulless like Instagram is, you know? How did you feel about Nicky, the brother? I know you.
He was a great character because he was smart, super smart. Mm-hmm. His like he knew how to get what he wanted,
mm-hmm.
and he called the boyfriend out on his shit.
Yeah,
and he was like, "No, you're no different." And he was unbearable. He was a terrible person.
Yeah,
maybe the worst person, but. You know, he was a smart guy. I mean, you can say that about a lot of people who get where they are. I mean, you get pushed, you get a certain thing, but you have to have a certain smart. I remember Bush. That was always a debate. If Bush, because he was, and you could do it with Trump too, but like Bush was always, he couldn't speak well at all.
Mm-hmm.
He would flub lines. He his vocabulary was terrible. But was he actually smart? And it's like, well, it'd be smart if he got this far. It's like, well, no, he just got a push, and he has the name and you know, the family. So there's always that. But a guy like that, I think a guy like that is smart and is able to get what he wants. But at the other side, he comes for money, mm-hmm. right? Did they come for money?
It seems like
they did, right?
There's some level of it. I mean, that's a nice house. Do you know anything about LA? I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
Where was that? Where was that area?
It seemed like it was like a cool, like Los Feliz kind of area.
Yeah, it seemed like you got to have money to live.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, LA's not cheap, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I wanted to ask you about this movie, which I noticed it's probably not a new thing, but I notice it in a lot of movies. Do it. Mm. They use a song for humor, right?
Okay.
So like this movie they use an old song, so you get the nostalgia, like, oh my god, I remember this, and then they do it a few times, like they did the Casey and JoJo song All My Life.
Yes.
And the scene in the car was funny, where she's singing the part, and that was a very funny scene, especially, and then they went back to it. And I'm thinking about Bridesmaids that did Wilson Phillips. Oh my god, remember Wilson Phillips? And then blah blah blah. Keanu with George Michael, which I thought they went to. Did you see Keanu?
Yes, yeah.
Went to that well one too many times. The Freedom, George Michael, but it's a theme that's like, oh my god, remember George Michael? This is the end, Backstreet Boys, and then they fucking. So it's like, it's a theme I'm seeing in movies all the time with comedies where they're taking a random old song that to get the cheap laugh, and then they call it back, and then it's like, oh, that's all I can think of off the top of my head. But that's four or five I just rattled off.
Yeah, you did off the dome.
Yeah,
I guess this one was like, because they played it during the trailer. I think it was in the Red Band trailer.
Oh, was it? I don't even remember. My life?
Yeah, and I was like, it would be better if they kind of didn't. But you gotta sell the fucking thing. So I get why they did that. But that was an interesting moment where it started to get a little more like creepier. Like,
yes.
You could look at her and see that there was something more that she wanted. And then, like, you think that she gets to a point where... And I guess we'll just spoil it, man. I mean, if you're up to this point, so we're like, what, 40 minutes in. And if you don't want the movie spoiled, don't listen right now. So before we started recording, we were talking about how characters don't change. And it seemed like you mentioned Clockwork Orange. I mentioned Young Adult, where the Charlize Theron character, like, you see she's never going to fucking change. What was interesting about this movie was the fact that she was on the precipice of changing. Like, at that party, when they're at that, Harley Chung's place where she's house sitting. And that just seems like where everything starts falling apart. She's talking to Wyatt, and which is basically Wyatt is the fucking Ezra character's real name. She's talking to Ezra, and what do you think about that scene? Just kind of break that down.
Well, when I'm watching it, I didn't think it would be, and this is what I said before without spoiling. When I was like, I think it was smart where it went. I don't think she should have changed. I don't think there should have been a thing where it's like, it just clicks, and then it's like, hey, I don't care about social media anymore. I'm going to go be a real person. Like, she's too far gone. So it gets to that point where they call her out for her shit. They see her for who she is. And then at the end, it's like, kind of like a Clockwork Orange, where it's like, he's like this rapist. He's this thug. And they try to change him by making him disgusted by the violent images. But at the end, you can see he doesn't change. It is who he is. Mm-hmm. And this, she doesn't change at the end because something happens, and it's like she could change, she could go, and she could see it for what it is. But then this thing happens that sucks her right back in. It's like she'll never change. This is who she is. And it's too important to her.
And it's like not even getting any professional help. Where it's like, I mean, Taylor did say like you need professional help.
100%.
I mean, all of them could use it, but
yeah,
Ingrid needed it the most. Because she was unhinged. Like, she buys the house next door at Joshua Tree, and she's just not paying her bills. It's just, I felt bad for her. Like, I know.
Yeah, you do feel bad. You do feel bad. And you know what else was a nice touch with the movie too, with kind of saying without saying, and eventually it did say,
yeah,
when she was supposedly, and this shows that she's a ridiculous person too. Elizabeth Olsen's character. What was her name in the film?
Taylor.
When Taylor thinks her brother might be dead,
yeah, yeah,
she's posting on Instagram that they're at the Joshua Tree, because you still have to put up the image on Instagram, everything's good, you're sad.
Yeah.
But it's a little thing that it's like, you know, why are you doing that? You legitimately think your brother's dead, he's missing, and you're still posting it on Instagram, you know, because you have to do it probably like 3 or 4 times a day, mm-hmm, because you have these followers. That was a little thing that it's like, it shows she's just... is bad in a way too.
Oh yeah, she's
it's like, you think your brother's missing and you're like, well, I gotta fucking, you know, put out a fucking, you know, post, and it was like hashtag blue, so it's like, ugh,
yeah,
so disgusting.
It's and then to the point of like where she's like that scene to me, like, you know, when Ezra's saying like, yeah, you know, when she first moved here, she didn't know anybody. She's just like this sorority girl. I mean, right there, like, that's pretty. I mean, the prejudice against sorority chicks is just like they're just dumb. Like she's just like a dumb blonde. But he said, like, I didn't like her. I liked her better when she didn't know anybody. But then what is that saying? Like, as a man, you could control her? Is that is that what he's saying? I don't know. But it just felt like that's where a lot of that facade came down for a lot of them. And then, like, you know, okay, so this has me thinking. All right, so when Ingrid seduces Dan, do you think that is that story true? Obviously, the part where she's like, my mother was my best friend, probably was true to her. But then at the same time, like, do you think she like left some stuff out just so she could get him in her crosshairs? She had him like when she first came on the scene, but
no, I think that was truthful. That's the way I took it. I took it as like she was just that was the turning point. She was sad about her mom because that was like the only person in her life. Yeah. But of course, we don't see it.
Yeah.
So you have to take her word for it, which is like what you're putting on social media, which is you know the person you want to portray yourself, the cool person that goes to the events, you know that you're curating your own page. So you have to take her word for it. So I think that's why they did it also that you didn't actually see. Because you could do another movie in a way where she was with her mom. You show a scene where she's close. But I think that's left out intentionally because you have to take her word for it. And what you're questioning, you're posing right now is, I think, what you're supposed to take from it. Who the fuck even knows?
Yeah, because it's almost like because she kind of said her mom had a heart attack. But then, like, no, your mom, there's a bed. There's a medical bed in the fucking living room.
Yeah, you wouldn't have that if heart attack's sudden.
Yeah, so it seems like she kind of, I'm trying to remember what she said now. I'll probably get this on Blu-ray. But what she said, like, when she was like, it's almost like she kind of wanted to play it off. She said something like the heart attack thing, but then you know that probably was, you know that wasn't true, but then she's like, she was my best friend. Like, and I was like, fuck, there it is. There's some of that revelation of who she really is. Like he kind of cracked that armor. And then you have that other girl where the waitress that he hadn't seen in a long time, where she's like, we're on a date. Like she shut.
Yeah.
Him. Yeah.
Oh my God. And I think he kind of liked that. Cause as a character, it seems like he's not with any women and he likes the attention from her and he's willing to put up with her shit. Cause she's awful to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was funny that, like, it's like, don't talk about Batman. And then, of course, the guy's like, oh, Nikki loves Batman? This guy's cool. And then it's like, wait, what? You know, she doesn't know what to think because it's like Batman's supposed to be not cool because it's like kid shit and it's not like food or, you know, cool traveling or whatever. And then,
okay, so I want to talk about that, too. Like, it's like all these characters were in need of something. They wanted to be accepted. And, and that's why Dan tells him about the money. Like that's because he's drinking and he's asking him all these questions and he's, you know, and then he tells because he wants to be like accepted into this community. It's all these really lonely people, at least Dan and Ingrid are. And then maybe to a certain degree, Ezra's lonely. There's maybe loneliness with Taylor that they're masking with all this shit, you know. One of my favorite scenes now that you had me thinking about food, where she goes to Taylor's favorite restaurant and she's like, "Oh, what did she order?" And it was like whatever something that she ordered, some vegan thing, and she tasted and she spits.
That was funny.
Yeah, and then they jump, like they do like a quick cut to her eating like In-N-Out, and I was like, oh, that's
garbage. She's eating garbage.
Yeah, it's like my
because her life is yeah. And another thing that was legit funny was when they were questioning if she had a boyfriend or not.
Yeah,
and then Elizabeth Olsen was trying to be soft about it. I'd be like, no, well, we just said, and then Nikki was like, no, I meant it. I thought that was really funny too. But he's like, no, I meant it. I'm really serious. You're faking it, and of course she was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the Ice Cube character was too nice. I just was like, oh, come on, man. Come on. And again, guys get walked over by girls all the time. I've been in positions where I've let girls get away with too much. And like, I get it, but it was just like, holy shit, one thing after another. But it happens. This is like, I'm not denying that this happens. I just was like, come on, man. Like, this girl's not that awesome. Like, she's like, actually, like, she's very shitty.
Yeah.
It's like, stop hanging out with her. But when you're in it, you can't, you know. You don't see it till after, like when you're like, oh yeah, that person was terrible. I should have stopped talking to them a while ago.
And you fucking kidnap a guy.
Yeah.
And you might be, and you're like, you're an accessory, and then you kind of get paralyzed.
Yeah, it's not clear, but I would assume, I thought he was, but I like, you're in a hospital, so you never know, but it was still some time had passed, but that's unclear.
Yeah, is that like a couple months later or just like a few? Because she wakes up, and I'm going to go, because we've already spoiled it, and we'll see.
Well, like, he was at the party at the end, right? The brother? He was pissed. He was there. He was at the party at the end, right?
Yeah, Nikki was.
So he's recovered. So it has some time has to pass because now he's recovered.
Yeah, but then after. No, he's recovered because he's there. I'm talking about Dan.
No, I'm saying so the time had to pass because Nikki's fine now. So it couldn't have just been like the next day or like a few, you know, time had passed. She was in the house by herself.
Yeah. So fuck. Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying now. Maybe he's just going through rehab.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, but that's like, yeah. And like you said, like I've let girls get away with a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But not like you scratched my car, but. Like, yo, that would have been it probably there. Yeah.
Yeah, again, not unrealistic. I just was like, oh, come on. But it worked because he's the only one that was real to her. Mm-hmm. And he, liked her. And she didn't give a shit.
Yeah. And that's where they could have been, like, a real, like, that real connection where they could have had something, you know, separate of Taylor and her crew. Where it could have been. That's to me is the sad part about it. And it was just like, fuck. Like this thing is right in front of you, but you're you're obsessed. It just makes, you know, it was a couple years ago where, and I think, oh my God, see, I didn't want to go into this. You know, you ever know how you want to talk about something? And I think I do, because I'm rambling enough to where I can get to where I want to go. There's this ESPN. You're a sports guy, right?
Yeah.
Kate Fagan of ESPN.
Yeah, I know her.
She wrote this book, and it just came out, about this young woman that was very beautiful, talented soccer player. Let's see. It's called, this book is called What Made Maddie Run. And I got to check this out. But I remember seeing a story on this young woman on like Outside the Lines, and this girl, I'm gonna try to see if I can get a blurb about this. Oh God. But that's what we do on this show. We nerd out and we try to, beautiful young woman, soccer player. She, you know, if you were to look at her Instagram, you would see like, oh my God, this girl's really pretty. She's a college student, and I think she's a track at. Anyway, very beautiful, talented young woman ends up killing herself.
Oh, jeez,
because she's like, she's depressed, and you to look at her Instagram, you wouldn't know about it. And I need to read this book, but it's anybody willing interested in checking it out. It's a book called What Made Maddie Run. By Kate Fagan. I was trying to get like a bit of a blurb on this. Jesus Christ. She was really beautiful. Like she was, that's kind of shitty when you. The secret struggle, what made Maddie run, M-A-D-D-Y, the secret struggles and tragic death of an all-American teen. So that basically, you know, puts it in perspective for you.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on when behind these Instagram photos, unless
I'm looking at it now, yeah.
Yeah, unless they tell you, and you'd think, what is this girl, what has to go on to this like beautiful young woman. And see, that's what we think. Like we were talking before, like, dude, like you're telling chick you're hot. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, like what's going on? And we just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, kind of what I was saying, like, Ingrid's character was into superficial shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, the girl equivalent of, like, fast cars and, like, fucking sports. Like, just, like, kind of like superficial shit. So it's like she could have found someone to do that stuff with and, like, look cool. But she was too quirky, man. She was too quirky for her own good. She was, she ended up, you know, isolating herself because there was problems in her school. Remember, they were like, "Oh, she was in a mental institution." Oh, everyone was like whispering she was in her small town.
Yeah,
and that's why she goes west.
Yeah, you got any final thoughts on?
But yeah, show? Garden State. Everybody loved Natalie Portman. It's like the line between Natalie Portman and Garden State and Ingrid and Ingrid Goes West.
The manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah. Like Natalie Portman was like quirky. She lied all the time.
Yeah,
but it was like endearing. She lied because she was scared and she wore the helmet and like she's adorable, but like I think it's just aggression. Ingrid is too aggressive.
and she looked like Natalie Portman.
Yeah, that too. That helps.
Yeah. There's a picture of this, like the article that I have from this woman, Maddie Holloran. There's that, like her Instagram where she's got like this beautiful picture from 2014. Like in, I wonder if her Instagram is still up.
Probably still up, right? I mean,
14,500 followers.
Jeez.
And 268 posts. And it should be up there still because I guess, you know, like all of her friends and all this stuff, like it's fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah.
And you see like young life taken away and it's just like, damn, like what does she have? Like you look at this and you're like, what does she have to be really upset about? I need to read this shit. But
yeah, it's tough because we're all, yeah, that's, but at the end of the day, it's just what you're putting out there. It's like you don't know what the fuck's going on. It's just like,
yeah,
you're just putting out what you want. You're, you know, the only way to solve that is if other people were in charge of your social media. They were like, if other people could post it and then they were deciding.
Yeah.
And then you couldn't just curate it yourself.
Right.
This is the, like, this wouldn't work. This makes no sense what I'm saying. But like, you get the idea where it's like,
I get it.
It's kind of, I guess, how other people see you. I don't know. There you go. I'm writing the script. Social media, but other people control it.
Yeah.
We live in a world. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at mine right now. Swirling. I went to this play. Look at the playbill from this play that I went to.
Look at my last Instagram.
Look at this.
I'll tell, dude, the last one I posted was yours. Yeah, yours. You're active, huh?
Yeah, I just post like most of the stuff is like my podcast, and like when I shot something, when I was an actor on a show or something, I'll do a little post like set life hashtag.
Yeah, what's the life. High maintenance too, man. I love high maintenance.
That
you're in high maintenance too.
Yeah, it's coming out. I don't know when. Hopefully, I made the cut.
You never know with that stuff. My last one's December 30th, 2015. I was at a Knick game and I sat very close. That was the last time I felt compelled to put an Instagram post
up.
Dude,
you gotta post that shit.
You have to. I mean, it's not official. I'm at a Knicks game. I'm sitting courtside. It is not official. And then here to bring it all around, dude, pin it all around. April 29th, 2015, I put a joke up. I was on a plane. I said, never miss an Around the Horn episode. J.A. Adande is having such a great season, but the photo is of Kate Fagan. So there you go.
Wow. Deep
shit. It all comes full circle. You were just talking about Kate Fagan, and there you go.
I think that's a good place to end it.
Yes. So, yeah, what are your thoughts? I thought it's definitely worth seeing. I mean, look, we talked for an hour about the film and about other stuff the film brings up. I think it's, you know, the film brings up a lot, and I think it's, you know, definitely worth seeing. Definitely, it was a good film.
I agree, man. It's one of those things where you just kind of, like, on the like, because I didn't know that I was gonna be into it that as much as I was. Like, I know that I love the actresses in it, the leads in it, but I was just like, and you know, when we go back to our text exchange, like, it's all right, you know, it's good. It's not like anybody's never done this before. but it's worth seeing. And I was like, okay.
Yes.
That, and that put it into perspective for me. That's like, okay, maybe my expectations won't be as high. But I went into it, and I was just like, fuck. This kind of – and after I saw it, I just wrote – I tweeted, Ingrid Goes West really makes you think, bro. Like, it's just like I look at my shit. Like, I can look at this sometimes when I'm – I can literally look at my Instagram and see, like, if I'm not feeling – if I'm feeling sad or feeling in some kind of way where, like – I was like, I'm living a pretty good life. Like, I can look at, like, some of the shows that I've done – the people that I've met, the people that I've talked to on my podcast, like, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, and it makes it, that part of it does make me feel good. There's people on social media that I've interacted with and met and made these connections with that have enhanced my life. Like, it's not, the shit isn't, it's not all bad, you know?
But it, no, it, dude, it can't be. It can't be all bad. It can't, otherwise, it'd be ridiculous. But, you know, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to people. I was talking to someone about it, and it's like the idea that you can just put stuff out there is amazing. That like there's less gatekeepers, and like you can put, like, it doesn't mean like, you know, a lot of people will see it. Maybe no one will see it, but you can put it out there, and you can just do it yourself, and that's pretty amazing. But the downside is everyone can do it. But
yeah,
so what? You can still do it, and you can put stuff out there.
Definitely. Definitely. It's just really good. I'm definitely getting it when it comes out on video or whatever. I was just really pleasantly surprised at how much I was drawn into the movie and how I was invested in the Ingrid character. It's a testament to the team that put it together. So I highly recommend it, man.
Yeah, and I looked at what the director did. I'm always interested in that. And it's like, he just did like shorts before this. I don't think he did anything big.
Yeah.
Just like a few shorts and like stuff here and there. So it's always interesting how you make that jump. Mm-hmm. I know how you make shorts. I know how you do small stuff. But to make that where you're like, you know, you're casting, you know, big stars in it. And you're, you know, it's getting like a wide release. This is very interesting to me.
Yeah, it's really good that it is. Like, I always like to see that happen. Like where...
Yeah.
Where it's like that natural progression, and I'm happy when it's easier for me to, it's more accessible to me, because sometimes when you live, like we talked about this before, when you live in a certain area, like, oh, it's playing in New York, but then I live in Jersey and I got to make all these plans to go into the fucking city and blah blah blah. Where I just to just see this one, I just, you know, went to the mall and saw it, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like easier, and I'm happy when I can get to see movies like that. But part of me is just like, fuck, you gotta wait 2-3 weeks for it to come out. When you're a nerd like me, you know, you wanna see it as soon as you can.
Yeah, this is playing in Astoria now, but it wasn't when I saw it. It was the two theaters.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, cool, Jeff. Tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, it's Jeff Cerulli, Twitter, Cerulli, and everything's on there. And my show is out, the feed, the web series, and, you know, watch that, and, follow me. And wait for my next Instagram post, which will probably be in, like, 2 years. You can follow me on there, too, when I feel compelled again to post something.
Hold on to the line, Jeff, when we close out. Jeff, thank you so much for doing this, man, and... We'll talk to you next time, everybody. This has been episode 4 of Indie Movie Corner.